Conversing with the Damned, being a transcription of a dialogue between myself, Richter Clace, and that most infamous of heretics, the Marquis Alphonse Del Monse. The Marquis Alphonse Del Monse is the last in a long and noble line. Some say his family roots begin with the Pirate Lords of Sartosa, and that they only moved to Britannia after amassing a considerable fortune from their corrupt activities, sometime in the 15th century of our Lord Sigmar. Whatever the case, the Marquis's father, Jean Chevalier, Comte Del Monse, was a powerful and decadent man, a noble who ruled by sword and fear rather than any benevolent policy. Being a grossly debauched man, Jean Chevalier lived with two wives and was rumoured to have enjoyed countless lovers and courtesans throughout his life. Despite all this, Jean Chevalier was also a learned and free-thinking philosopher, his controversial writings finding their way across Britannia and Astilia, and to our own dear empire. Suffice to say, Jean Chevalier came to a no good end, and his son, Alphonse Del Monse, took up his father's libertine mantle with startling vigour. Though sent to train as a knight, as indeed all the young aristocracy of Britannia are required to do, Del Monse never took to the life of a warrior, although it is said that he possessed a fiery spirit and showed considerable savagery in battle. He had no respect for his tutors and lacked the humility required to earn the spurs of knighthood. He left his training without a backward glance, and they say he never once showed the slightest remorse or shame for having done so, a terrible thing indeed to the honour-bound nobles of Britannia. What followed was a life filled with extreme controversy and hedonism that even his late father's colourful reputation seemed dim by comparison. It was not long before Dolmans was brought before his king to account for his base and unchivalrous behaviour. This accounting turned into a criminal trial, when suspicions were roused as to the true nature of Del Monse's debauchery. Some suspected the hand of chaos in Del Monse's deportment, but the Marquis denied all such accusations, giving this statement to the court. "I am the Marquis Del Monse. Within my veins flows the blood of some of the most distinguished and noble families of this fair realm, the same blood that flows through many of you, and as such, I deserve to be heard. I was born to wealth and luxury, as indeed were all of you, and I was told from my earliest age that fate and the gods had surrounded me with such plenty because it was my destined right to possess them as a nobleman of Britannia. I became the proud, imaginative, and irascible man I am today precisely because of this upbringing, and I freely admit that in the past, I have entertained the notion that all other people were created solely to submit to my desires, and that all the world should seek to flatter my whims. In short, I say to you that I am my father's son, a product of what he and his fellow noblemen of Britannia taught me to be. So indeed, I am what my circumstances have made me, and they have made me a true son of Britannia. I see no reason why I should be penalised for matters and eventualities that are so clearly beyond my control." Del Monse was released shortly afterwards, although he was banished thenceforth from Britannia. Disgraced and exiled from his own country, the Marquis settled in the free port of Marienburg. There he continued with his wicked ways, and in time his true nature became obvious to the local authorities. Del Monse was apparently no longer content to enact his petty perversions, and so took the extreme step of establishing his own coven dedicated to the worship of Slaanesh. The success and eventual size of his coven was truly remarkable, helped in no small part by the Marquis's personal charm and fabulous wealth, and prompted the burgomeisters of Marienburg to take the unprecedented step of requesting special assistance from our own Templars of Sigmar. The witch hunters agreed, their only proviso being that should they find enough evidence to arrest Del Monse, he would be deported to Altdorf for trial and execution. The burgomasters agreed, and Del Monse was captured and brought to Altdorf to face his doom. Having witnessed Del Monse's interrogation at the hands of Marshal Clement of the Witch Hunters, It has become apparent to me that, despite his obvious deviancy, the Marquis is an extremely well-educated and erudite man. With the disposition granted to me by the theogonist Volkmar, and the authority it grants me over certain canonical matters, I have been able to request a stay of execution for the Marquis, so that I may glean some first-hand wisdom as to the psychology and disposition of a chaos cultist. For his part, the Marquis agreed to speak with me, just so long as I was intending to talk with him, rather than, in his own words, preach the miserable doctrine of the Sigmarites. The man is a complete unrepentant. Although I know I should hate him for his crimes against our land and our holy church, I freely admit that the scholar in me finds it hard to despise one possessing such wit and intelligence as he. I began my conversation with him by stating that very fact. Here follows the transcription of his response and our subsequent conversation. "And why should you, Herr Richter? After all, my misfortune is not a product of my own thoughts and acts, so much as it is a product of the thoughts and acts of other, more petty-minded people. I'm an artist, scholar, and aesthete, and the fact that my beliefs do not match your own is no good reason for an intelligent man to give in to hatred."
"That is true, Marquis, but you must accept that this is more than just a case of religious intolerance on my part. You worship a prescribed deity, one that encourages you towards the most horrific acts in his name."
It is a crime of your own austere religion that it insists all the works of the Chaos Gods are irredeemably horrific. Clearly this cannot be the case. Am I horrific? No, don't answer. I fear that Boar Sigmar has knocked too much sense out of you for you to give me a fair and reasoned reply. Think on this instead. If the Chaos Gods represent only suffering and ugliness, then they would surely gain few converts, and without the souls of converts to feed them and drive them on, their power would eventually begin to fade from our world. Why would they risk harming themselves by driving away the laity?
So you believe chaos offers more than simple damnation?
Of course I do. And it is more than simple belief, Richter. Much more. Chaos offers the quick fulfillment of dreams and gratifications of the self. And of all the gods of chaos, none make this offer more tempting than Lord Slaanesh.
So you embraced evil simply for the gratification of the self, as you put it.
You race ahead. Richter, define for me what you mean by evil.
I would think that evil, at least in the context of a Slaanesh cultist like yourself, would mean debauchery and unutterable perversions, leading to a kind of selfish hedonistic madness.
How very specific of you. Well, I'm sure some of the more exuberant of my Lord Slaanesh's followers might have appeared as debauched and unutterably perverted, madmen, at least by your lights, but it is true to say that by far the majority of his mortal followers are civilized and educated people, just like me, just like you.
Not like me, Don Monse.
You're so sure. I know many a cleric has turned away from his dour religion to the more tangible delights of Slaanesh. What makes you think you are so different?
I know that I could never find joy in the cruel perversities expected by your foul god.
Foul? Is joy foul? Why do you assume that the Lord of Delight expects only perversity from his followers? Slaanesh is, among so many other things, the personified manifestation of pleasure. And, more importantly, the desire to experience pleasure. How we generate that pleasure is not important to him. The fact that we experience it at all is enough.
You are trying to tell me that your god has no interest in debauchery? We both know that isn't true.
I have no doubt that Slaanesh takes his delight from all acts that gratify the senses, but, if I may say so, you are far too obsessed with what you call debauchery. For all our apparent intelligence, we humans are creatures of nature. Every emotion and drive that we experience, therefore every act we initiate, is a product of our natural state of being, and not simply pressed on us by some insidious external force.
So you are saying that Slaanesh does not promote hedonism in his name?
Not at all. I am trying to say that the gods are but reflections of our own emotions and drives. They are a product of our own desires,
not their own. You cannot condemn any one of them for what they are or what they do, for they are simply projections of those processes that make us human. They are us, and we are they.
But the Chaos Gods represent only extremes. There is no virtue in any one of them.
Oh, Richter, why must you Sigmarites always drone on about virtue, as if you alone were the keepers of it? An educated man such as yourself must have studied history. You must have seen that there is no eternal morality, but a shifting mass of beliefs that change from age to age. And so for all those things you regard as virtues, why, they are just named responses that have been conditioned by variables, the world we men have constructed around ourselves, and the geography that the world is built upon, and then inflicted upon us. Virtue is a word born from a lack of imagination, and a fear of experimenting with what it is to be human, or rather a fear of seeing ourselves for what we really are.
You seem to forget the reality of your immortal soul, Marquis. What will happen to you when you die, and your foul god comes to claim your soul? Where will your libertine sensibilities leave you then?
Ah, your reasoning becomes clearer to me now. So, fear of punishment in the hereafter is the driving force behind your morality. I might have guessed. Well, then I put this to you. If Slaanesh is indeed the product and personification of all delight and pleasure, then perhaps he is not so terrifying a god as you might think. Whereas you have mentioned ad nauseam that my god is often one of sensual excess, he must always be a god of contentment, joy, and honest satisfaction. But you look skeptical. I understand, Richter. I felt the same as you must do now when I first learned the truth. It's so easy for us to accept that a god of chaos is present in the debased acts of rape or sadism, but a far harder thing indeed for us to accept that he is also a product of feelings generated by love and aesthetic appreciation. But it's the truth. Slaanesh's influence extends to all those things that give us pleasure, in whatever way, shape, or form they take, including, therefore, all endeavours that are passionate and creative. Though I would happily debate with you against the existence of an afterlife at all, if by some stretch of the imagination there is one waiting for us beyond the veil of death, perhaps mine will be somewhat more enjoyable than the one offered by your grey and authoritarian god.
You are seeking to undermine my beliefs, Dalmancy. It won't work. I have read the reports from soldiers fighting along our northern borders. Slaanesh is a source of suffering and debasement. That is all.
If it were as simple as that, why do you think so many artistic and philosophical institutions have been found to hide a cult to Slaanesh? The reason romantics and idealists and intellectuals are attracted to Slaanesh is precisely because he is the greatest patron and product of beauty, love and aestheticism, and all the sensual pleasures of art, music and companionship empower him. Even the contentment I assume you glean from worshipping the Heldenhammer is a form of pleasure, and therefore empowering to my lord, Slaanesh.
No! I know! This is a pointless conversation, Dalmancy. This consultation is over.
How like your kind to be frightened by simple truths. Ask yourself this. Would it be so difficult to embrace a god that asks you only to take greater pleasure in the wine you drink or the food you eat? How tempting would it be to be able to take the same enjoyment from the simplest things in life as you would from some great achievement or intellectual endeavour? How could this not be attractive?
I told my scribe to cease his transcription at this point. I have begun to comprehend the insidious and seductive nature that so typifies Slaanesh and its servants. But I am strong in my faith. I will not be lured from the path of righteousness by anyone, least of all by a jaded Bretonian with a silver tongue. I am resolved to speak to Dalmancy again, for I am certain there is much I can learn from him yet. Next time we speak, I shall be mindful to keep the conversation away from the more esoteric aspects of his beliefs.
Thanks very much, everybody. Hope you enjoyed that. I think that was a quality little scene. Okay, I'm going to go. Thanks very much for watching. If you'd like to support the channel, these brave chaps here have this list of honour, then you can follow the links below, and I'd really appreciate that. Otherwise, if you wouldn't mind giving the video a like, and subscribe if you're not subscribed, and remember to hit the bell so you get notified when I do stuff. See you next time. Thanks for watching. Cheers.